So we were looking at these past couple of weeks with our homework, 1 John chapter 4, verses 13 through 21. And once again, as I had prayed, these verses are just packed with assurance of our salvation, or our position, or what the Lord has given us. So let's take a look at those and read through them, and we're going to... I did, yeah, thank you. And then we will break it up a little bit. So starting in verse 13 of chapter 4, it says, "By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." So I titled this message, Blessed Assurance, because as we look at these verses and we break them down, we're just reminded over and over again of who we are in Christ, what he's done for us, what the Lord has given us, and how the outpouring of what takes place in our lives because he's given us his Spirit is evidence that he's in our lives and working in our lives. And so there's visible evidence, there's inner evidence, that is very reassuring. But what I wanted to do tonight was take a look at all of 1 John that we've looked at up to this point and just point out how many times John tells us in just four short chapters, you should be assured of your salvation because of these very things. I have letters A through Z and then A through G of verses where he says, you should know that you're saved because of this. So let's go right back to 1 John chapter 1. And we'll start there and we'll go right through these four chapters looking at what he says. We know this. We know this. We know this. Because John was sure of it. And why was he sure of it? Let's look at verses 1 through 3 to start. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So John says to us, I am assured of my salvation, and you can be too, but I am sure of it because I saw him with my own eyes. I walked with him. I talked with him. I touched him. I saw him minister. I know him personally. I have a personal relationship with him. You can tell somebody about your friend because you spend time with that person. You know them. You know what they like. You know what they don't like because you spend time together. And John says to us, I know this about Christ, and I'm declaring it to you because I have had this personal relationship with him. I have walked with him. I've eaten with him. I've, just spent time with him. And the more time you spend with somebody, the more you know them, and then the more you know about them. And then you can tell people about them. Those of you who are married, I'm sure that you can tell people about your husband, right? Those of you who have children, you can tell people about your children, you know, their likes, their dislikes, their, you know, all about them because you spend time with them. You can tell people about your parents. You can tell, you know, if you have a best friend, you can tell them about your best friend because you've spent time with them. And so John is so sure of his position in Christ because he spent time with him. He handled him. I like that. You know, I was able to handle Jesus. And he's poured that out. And he says, I'm bearing witness of that. I'm declaring it to you, that eternal life, which is with the Father. And he made that manifest to us. And then he says, and I want you to have fellowship with me in this. We might not personally handle Jesus Christ, but because John did, we can have fellowship in that. And he says, but that fellowship comes because of the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. We have that fellowship because of the finished work of Christ on the cross. So John was so sure of what he believed because he touched and saw, and he pours it out to us now. This is what I saw, and this is what I heard, and this is what I was told. And now I'm going to pour it out to you so that you can know the same thing that I know. And so we can be sure as well of what John was sure of. And he starts right out in 3, the last part of that, saying, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. And the only reason we have fellowship with the Father is because of his Son, Jesus Christ, and what he did for us. We are reconciled to the Father because of Jesus Christ. And then if we look down in verse 7, it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So one of the evidences or assurances that we are his is we walk in the light. You desire to be in the light. Is there going to be sin in your life? Absolutely, there's going to be sin in your life. But your desire is going to be to live a holy life, to live a pure life for the Lord. You're going to want to walk in his ways. That's an evidence. You should be assured if that's your desire. The second part of verse 7 goes on to say, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Why can we walk in the light? Because of Jesus' shed blood. It's his work that allows us to do that. It's his work that brings us back into fellowship with God. So we can be sure because of Jesus' blood. It's a done deal. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, because I said, yeah, our desire is to walk in the light, but we are going to sin. But if we confess our sins, again, it's his work. He is faithful to forgive, faithful to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we can be assured because it's not our works that does it. It's not us trying to cleanse ourselves. But he's done it. If we say, you know, Lord, I blew it. I blew it again. The same thing sometimes. Sometimes we struggle with the same thing over and over and over again. We don't desire to. It's not that we're practicing that, but it's just our area of struggle. And we come to him again and again, Lord, I blew it. I blew it again. He knows it. He just wants us to come to him. And he forgives and cleanses because he's the faithful one. So we can be assured, again, because it's his work that does it. Our assurance is in him. And that we're continued to be assured of that in chapter 2. He goes right on with that. It's his work. In verse 1, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. So, first of all, we have an advocate, and I don't know if you were here or not, but you'll remember if you were here. I took you into the courtroom, and, you know, we talked about he's there. He's on your behalf. He's coming before the judge to say, you know what? They go free because of me. I'm paying the price for them. Yes, they're guilty, but I'm doing it. Our assurance, again, is in our advocate because he is the propitiation for our sins. He made the payment for us. So it says, not for ours only, but for the whole world. How many times have you spoken to somebody and they said, it's not for me. You don't know what I've done. What I've done is too bad for Jesus to forgive. He says, oh no, I paid the price for the whole world's sin. I've done it. If you've accepted that, you believe that, it's done. He's your advocate. He's paid the price for you, for the whole world. So if you believe that, then you should have assurance in that. You know, Jesus said, I did it for the whole world, so my sin is not too bad for him to forgive. First John 2:3 and verse 5 say, now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commands. Verse 5 says, and whoever keeps my word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. So there's going to be visible fruit in our lives. We're going to want to do what he tells us to do. We're going to want to live by his word. We're going to want to do, follow the commandments. And if you have a desire to do that, because the world doesn't have a desire to do anything that the Bible says, if you have a desire to do that, you know you're his. He says, you know, by this is evidence that you know him, because you want to do his commands. If you keep his commands, you know that you know him. And he says it twice in a couple of verses. Says we can know we're in him because we do this. Verse 6, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Do you walk in his ways? Do you know how Jesus walked on this earth? How did he walk on this earth? He was a servant. He loved others. He gave himself for others. Do you desire to do that? Do you do that? Do you give of your time? Do you give of your possessions? Do you serve others in some way? Then you can know you're his, because that's not how the world walks. They walk usually to serve themselves. Jesus was constantly looking to the needs of others. And so if you're walking as he walked, you know you're his, because it's a different life, different lifestyle than the world. Verse 10 says, he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. So, do you love others? Do you love those in the church? Do you love those in the body? That's evidence that you know him. It's evidence that he's dwelling inside of you. Because again, the world's love, there's always something personal to get out of the world's love. But God's love is others seeking. It loves others. Often at, how do I put it? It's not, you know, taking from themselves. You know, often it's setting your own needs and your own desires aside to serve somebody else, to love somebody else, to spend time with somebody, to meet a need that, well, yeah, I have my own life and I have things going on, but, you know, I really feel the Lord wants me to do this. And so I'm going to set that aside. I'm going to table my own desires and I'm going to meet this need. Again, that's evidence that you're his. Verses 13 and 14. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong. The word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Here in two short verses, he says how many times You know him. You've known him from the beginning. You've overcome because of him. Because of Jesus, you've overcome. You know it. There are times we get in our walk or something comes in our lives, we get distracted, and sometimes what we know, what we've known, when we got saved, we were so sure of our position in him. But sometimes we veer a little bit from that and we can forget that. And John's saying, remember what you've known from the beginning. What did you know from the beginning? Jesus forgave my sin. And that's all we needed to know. And we were like, do it, Jesus, forgive me. You know, I'm yours. And that was enough to know that Jesus came to die for my sins and take my sins away. And if I believe that and I ask him to do it, I have a place in eternity with him. And it was a simple message. We accepted it. And then from there, we're growing. But sometimes we forget that simple message and things get complicated and life comes in. And sometimes we just need to be brought back to that simple message. What do you believe? I believe that Jesus died to take my sins away, that I can make me clean so that I can have a place in heaven. You've known it from the beginning. Remember it. You know it. And he's reminding us of that. Be strong. The word of God abides in you. Get back to the word. Make sure you're in the word. Verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. So we've been given his Spirit to dwell in us. And by that, and by his action, by his promptings, by his urgings, those times when you go, boy, I just need to pray for so-and-so. Or, you know, I'm going to pick up the phone and I'm going to call this person. Or I'm going to send a verse to this person. And you don't know why. You don't know what they're going through. I've had it happen to me. Wow, Karen, you are heavy on my heart. I am praying for you. And they don't know. I haven't talked to them for months. Yet the Lord, because his Spirit is in them, he gives them a message. And how uplifting is that? And sometimes you're the one who he's given that message to give to somebody. You know, I was blessed by this today. You know, I'm thinking about you. And it's just what somebody needs. And we know by those promptings when the response comes, wow, I was going through this. Or, yeah, I was having a tough time. Or, wow, I'm sick. How did you know that? Mm-hmm. It's evidence that the Spirit is in you and working. Verse 21, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. So he's saying to you again, you know the truth. You know it. You've known it from the beginning of your salvation. Remember it. Remember it. You know it. Verse 23, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Do you acknowledge Jesus Christ being the Son of God? Then that alone should be assurance that you are his, because the world wants nothing to do with Jesus. I was telling the ladies this morning, my dad, who you all know, an incredible man in the Lord, used to walk out of the room. He used to fold his arms. His bottom lip would stick out. He'd walk out of the room at the name of Jesus. And I remember thinking, there is no way that man will ever be saved, because you couldn't even talk to him about Jesus. There was no way he was going to acknowledge the Son. But today, he's a godly man who reads scriptures, you know, it's prays out loud. It's incredible the transformation that acknowledging has done in his life. So if you are willing to acknowledge the Son, you've got to know that he's in you, because again, the world will not, doesn't even like to say Jesus. They might say God, but they don't want to say Jesus. If you will say the name of Jesus, you know that something's going on in there. You know that he's yours. Verse 25, and this is the promise he has promised us, eternal life. It's his promise. He's given us eternal life. So that's reassuring, because he can never change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he's promised it in his word, it's true. And he has promised us eternal life. Verse 27, by the anointing which you have received from him, by the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it is taught to you, you will abide in him. So again, this is speaking of the Holy Spirit, that we have the Holy Spirit in us, and that Holy Spirit really teaches us all things. Whatever we need to know, he can teach us. Does he like us to come to church? Does he like us to sit under a godly pastor and hear his word expounded on? Absolutely. But can he and will he teach us everything we need? He will. We need to be in his word so he can speak to us. Do you have your daily times? And as you're reading, is there a verse that pops out to you where you're like, oh, I need that, or Lord, I'm sorry, or, you know, wow, that's encouraging, or, you know, thank you for doing that in me. That's him teaching you. He can teach you all things, and it's because we abide in him. And it says, and you will abide in him. You will. 29. And if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. So do you practice righteousness? Is it your habit to walk in righteous ways? You know, do you avoid those areas that would lead you to sin? You know, do you block certain ratings off your television? Do you steer clear of the movie theater for certain movies? Are you careful? Do you practice? Practice is doing it over and over and over and over and over again until you're good at it. You know, but we may not ever be good at it, but it's his work in us. But those who practice righteousness, do you practice it? Do you desire to please him? Do you desire to walk in his ways? Then you should be assured that you're his. Because it says, anyone who practices righteousness is born of him, because he is righteous. Chapter 3. Isn't that amazing? I mean, right there, in just two chapters, there's how many? A through N, you know, in just two small chapters. Chapter 3, verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. I'm just going to stop right there. He calls us his children. What love is that? You know, just the mere fact that he would call you his child is reassuring. Verse 6, whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him or not known him. Again, as it says here, whoever abides in him does not sin. This is talking about that habitual practice of sin. You know what you're doing. You know God doesn't like it, and you do it anyway. You have that nudging that says, don't go there, don't say that, don't do that, yet you go, I'm going to go anyway, I'm going to do it anyway, I'm going to say it anyway, and you don't care. Or maybe you do care, but you do it anyway. He says, if you're his, you're really not going to be doing that. We may have those times where, yes, we do, but it's not going to be our practice. It's not going to be something that we are continually doing, continually saying, you know what? I don't care. I'm doing it. Because the more we do that, eventually we're not going to hear the don't do that. We're not going to hear those nudgings, and we're going to become numb to it. Our conscience is going to become seared, and we won't even realize we're going to get someplace and we're going to go, how did I get here? But if we're His, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that practice of sin. So if you are almost immediately convicted of your sin, you know you're His, because you still have those nudgings from Him. It's when we get to the place where we're not hearing it anymore that you better watch out, because you're in a place that you shouldn't be. But if you are hearing that and you are convicted and you feel sorry for it, you know that you're His. And again, we saw this in chapter 2, but verse 7 says, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. Again, and He repeats Himself over and over and over again through these chapters. If you're practicing righteousness, you know that you're His, because He is righteous. And if you practice righteousness, you are righteous, just as He is, because He clothes you in righteousness. Verse 9, whoever has been born of God, again, does not sin, doesn't practice sin, for His seed remains in him. He cannot sin because he has been born of God. And again, it says, for His seed remains in him. And if you were here when we talked about these verses, you know that this seed is His Holy Spirit remains in you. And that Holy Spirit is going to be, again, nudging you when you are making those bad choices. You're going to hear that. That was wrong. You need to deal with this. But the thing that I love is, ahead of time, He's going to be telling you, don't go there. You don't want to do this. And we hear that and often are diverted from sin. So if you're hearing those nudgings, you know you're His, because He gives you His seed and it remains, it says. That is reassuring. He doesn't take it from you because you've sinned. It remains. His seed remains in you. Can we grieve it? Yes. But confession, He is faithful to forgive. Verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. So here we have some opposites, and it says we know that we have passed from death to life. That little four-letter word, we know. We know it. We know it. Why? Because we love others. We love others. If you love others, if you serve others, if you meet others' needs, you can know that you're His, because, again, the world isn't out there to serve others. The world is out there to serve itself. So if you have a loving nature towards others, you know that you're His. Verse 16, by this we know love, because He laid down His life for us. We also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So, how do we know we're His? Because He laid down His life for us. And He's not a liar. He can't lie. He says He did it. And we know it. That's what our foundation is. We believe that He laid His life down for us. There's assurance in knowing that. And then the follow-through of that is, again, that we're going to love others and we're going to lay our lives down, our time down, our possessions down, our desires down for others. And along those same lines, verses 18 and 19. My little children, let us love in, not in word and tongue, but in deed and truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. So if you're, it's not just lip service. It's not just saying, I'm going to serve others. It's not just saying, I want to do this, or I'll pray for you, or whatever. But it's actually the follow through. It's actually the doing of it. I've said to my kids many times when they've said, I'm sorry. Well, Let's see by a change in behavior. Or you hear, I love you, but then they're being downright nasty. It's like, okay, well, let's see it, you know. I'd rather see it than to hear it. And that's what these verses are saying. You know what? You're going to see it. You're going to know you're of the truth because there's going to be actions behind your words. You're not just going to, it's not just going to be, you know, it's not all words, but there's the follow through. And when there is that follow through, we know that we are of the truth. And seeing that, seeing the fruit in our lives, it says that shall assure our hearts before Him. There's assurance in what's coming out of our lives. Verse 21, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. When condemnation isn't being poured in, and why does condemnation come in? Because we do sin. But when that isn't there, when the Lord has nudged us, perhaps to text somebody or call somebody or make a meal for somebody, and we follow through and we do it, there's no condemnation in that. When the condemnation comes in is because the Lord has said, text that person, and you don't. Or make a meal for somebody, I'm too busy. Or, you know, whatever the case may be, you know, give this which is yours to that person, and you go, I'm going to use that myself, or, you know, whatever. And you don't follow through. That's when that condemnation comes in, you know. But if it does come in, the verse before that says, if our heart does condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. He knows your true heart is to serve. And so He doesn't want us to feel condemnation. And so there's great assurance in that. You know, He can take that all away. And we have confidence towards God in that. Verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commands and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Again, keeping His word, doing what He's asked us to do, and doing those things that are pleasing to Him. Do you offer Him praise? It pleases Him. Do you spend time in His word? It pleases Him. Do you love others? Do you, if you're married, do you love your husband? You know, do you respect your husband? Do you badmouth your husband? Do you, you know, are you doing what's pleasing in His sight? You know, what you're sitting watching on TV, would you watch it if Jesus was sitting in the room with you? Does it please Him where you're spending your time, how you're spending your money, what's coming out of your mouth? Is it pleasing to Him what you're putting in, what you're eating, what you're, you know, what you're drinking? Is it pleasing to Him? You know, if it is, then you can be assured of that. If there's, you're doing something that isn't pleasing to Him and you're convicted, you should be assured that He dwells in you, because conviction is a good thing when He corrects us, because He says He loves, He corrects, He chastens those whom He loves. It should be reassured when we're corrected. And this is, and so He says, we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And then He goes on in 23 to say, and this is His commandment. So He not only tells us we need to follow His commands, He then goes on to tell us the command that He wants us to follow. He says we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. So first, do you believe in Jesus Christ and who He says He is and what He's done? Do you believe on the finished work of the cross? And second, loving one another. Do you love one another? All, and other scriptures say that all the law and the commandments are summed up in these two, loving the Lord your God and loving your neighbor as yourself. It's all summed up in that, because if you're doing those two things, you are keeping His commands, because they all are connected to those two, because you're not going to be treating others poorly if you're loving others. And you're not going to be shaming your God or defaming His name if you're loving Him. So they're all summed up in that. These are the commandments: to believe in Him and to love others. Verse 24, says, and now he who keeps his commandments abides in him and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. So again, you're keeping his commands, therefore you know that he's in you and you're in him. And not only that, he says, again, because I have given you my Spirit, he says. So by the evidence of the Holy Spirit in us, we know that he's in us. And again, can you see the Holy Spirit? No, but you can see evidence of the Holy Spirit. I can't remember what Jonathan asked me the other day. I think it was, can we see our breath, Mommy? And I said, nope, we can't. We have evidence that it's there. We can see our lungs expanding and retracting. You know, when it's cold out, we can see the steam because the hot air meets the cold air. I said, so there's evidence that it's there, but we can't see it the same as the Holy Spirit. There's the evidence that he's there. We can't see him, but we know he's there. And if you know he's there and you there's evidence of his working in your life, again, that conviction of sin, that comfort when you're discouraged, the teaching of, he said, all that you need to know, I will teach you. If you're learning, if you know you're growing, those are evidences that he's in you. So again, so many assurances. And that's in three small chapters. And one more chapter that we have looked at, chapter 4 now. And it's 21 verses. And it's just jam-packed with more assurance. Verse 2 of chapter 4. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Do you confess that Jesus Christ came to this earth to be the propitiation for your sin? If you confess, you tell others, it comes out of your mouth, Jesus came to for me, it's evidence that you are his. And be assured by that testimony of your lips. Verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Who do you have in you? He's greater than the world, and you know that. You are of God, little children. You are of God because he is greater than he who is in the world. He has come. He has overcome this world. He has gained victory on the cross. It's reassuring. Verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Do you love? Do you love God? Do you love your neighbor? Do you love your husband? Do you love your children? Do you love the body? Do you love the brethren? Evidence that you're his. Says it plain as day there. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And then you think back to those verses that say, you've known it from the beginning. You know, remember what you know. You know God. And the love that pours out of your life is evidence that you know God. Verses 9 and 10. In this is the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Again, we heard this just a couple chapters ago, but he reminds us. He reminds us because sometimes we just need to be reminded. It's God's work that's done it, you know. And this is love, not that we loved God because we were still sinners when Christ died for us. He sent his Son. He loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He sent his only begotten Son into the world. Why? That we might live through him. We can be assured because he did the work. It wasn't because we did anything. I couldn't be good enough. I couldn't be bad enough. I mean, I was bad enough. But he did it. He did it. And we should be assured of that. He sent his Son before I ever gave him a thought. There's great assurance in that. Verse 12, no one has seen God at any time, but again, there's evidence that he's there. But if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. So again, if that outworking of him in us, are you loving others? It's evidence that you're his. How many times has he said that? Again and again and again. You're probably saying, all right, Karen, we've heard it. We've heard it. We've heard it. Stop it. John just keeps repeating and repeating and repeating. So we can just say, all right, I get it. You know, I get to the point at home where I'm busy doing something and Jonathan will be standing over my shoulder going, Mommy, 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 Mommy. I hear him, you know, but by the 15th Mommy, I finally go, yes, you know. He's telling us again and again and again and again and again till finally we go, I got it, you know. I got it. He loves me. My evidence of him loving me is the fact that I then love others. Verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he gave us of his Spirit. What is that? The third or fourth time he said that? An evidence of the fact that we abide in him is the Holy Spirit working within us. And again, it's that evidence. We can see that conviction of sin. We know it's there, that comfort that he gives us, that encouragement that he gives us, that teaching that he gives us, the evidence is there. And by that evidence, we know that we're abiding in him, because we hear, we know the Holy Spirit. Verses 14 and 15. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Our testimony and confession of him, what he's done in our life, how we're changed by him. I read an incredible testimony on Facebook yesterday of God's working in somebody's life. You know, that's that testimony, that's confessing. This is what God has done in my life. This is how he's changed me. This is what his forgiveness has done for me. And that forgiveness is for you too. You know, we have a testimony. He gives us a testimony so that we can bear witness of his work in our lives. And so others are going to be drawn to that. They're going to say, wow, can he do that same thing for me? Well, absolutely he can. So that testimony in our lives, that confession of Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he came to take our sins away. That's evidence that he is in your life. And he reminds us, if you can do that, if you can confess that Jesus is the Son of God, then God abides in you, and you in God. Verse 16, and we have known, again, there's that word, we know, and we believe the love that God has for us. And why do we believe that? Because he loved us while we were still sinners and he sent his Son to die, you know, and that's what we believe. That's the foundation of our faith. We believe it. We believe that love that he has for us. And God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. He again and again and again, he repeats himself. He wants us to know this. Verse 16. Oh, I just did that one. Sorry. We believe. And verses 20 and 21. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love God, or I'm sorry, he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he's not seen? And this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Repeating himself again, if you love the brethren, you love those around you, it's evidence that you're his. Because you're loving what's physical, what he's placed in front of you, that you can see, that you can touch. You're practicing righteousness. You're walking as he walked with who you can see and feel. And that's evidence of him who you cannot see but you know is there. And so he's saying, by the fruit in your lives, you're going to know that I'm in you and I'm working in you. So be assured, 4 short chapters, there's a load of evidence, a load of assurance that we are his and he is ours, and that he's going to remain and he's not going to leave us or forsake us. And I don't know about you, but I look at that and I go, wow. Okay, Lord, I know I'm yours. Will I probably falter in that again at some point? Probably. But I know where to come back to remind myself, okay, Lord, it's foolish of me to think that, you know, I'm not yours, because look at all of this evidence. So if you are ever struggling or doubting or need assurance, just look at 1 John. He wants you to know. He wants you to be sure just this, as he was sure, because he walked with him and he talked with him and he touched him and he knew the love that Jesus had for him. And he wants us to be sure of that as well.